welcome to class today. Glad to see you here. Those of you that decide to show up. Questions, comments, concerns, other things for me before we begin. None whatever. So, lab yesterday, there wasn't much material, it was just work on your homework. This was a good thing or bad thing? Good thumbs up, bad thumbs down. All right, I win. All right, I'm good. So I'm glad that worked. I would encourage you not to stop your progress, not to wait another week before you work on it. Answering questions about something that has multiple correct solutions is harder than answering questions about things that have one or two correct solutions, which means that it takes us longer to give help as TAs and faculty if you're coming to office hours, which means we would like it for you to start early so we have time to help you before deadlines. So please continue that effort. Try to get this done early so that we can move forward. On that point, just yesterday, I haven't changed the schedule yet, but it was decided that we will not have a homework 7. So we'll talk about exactly what that means. So once you're done this one, the coding off of tests portion of the exam, off of tests and labs will be completed. So there's that. It being registration time, let's just talk briefly about registration. If you decide to continue taking CS courses, after taking this course, the traditional next courses to take are either CS2102, which is sort of the mathematical underpinnings of what we're doing, how computers work mathematically. And then there's 2110, which really just picks up where this course leaves off, teaches you more Java, more programming, more how to design programs, and also teaches you how to program Androids. Right now, these are restricted to people in the School of Engineering. There's links here on Lou's list to where you can find when it will open up to various other groups of people. So there's that. So if you'd like to take more programming after this, 2110 is the programming course, 2102 is the mathematical underpinnings. If you want to go very far, you have to take both of them, but you can also take 2110 without taking 2102 if you just want a little more programming. And if you don't want any more at all, well, I'm sorry, you'll see the light eventually. Okay. So, that said, today we're going to talk about one of the popular topics in computing. There's a few algorithms or problems that we talk about a lot in computer science. And one of them is searching. So the search problem is, you want to find if a value is in a list, and if it is, where it is. That's it. Got a list, got a candidate value. Is that candidate value in the list? If it is in the list, where is it? This is approximately what the index of methods do. Hey? So, we're going to talk about these, we're going to talk a little bit about code, a little bit about how we tell it how fast something is, and various other things about this. But before we begin, I would like you all to have a chance to come up with a technique for doing search that I don't know the name of. There are lots of named approaches to searches. There are some that I don't know the name of. So if you can come up with a way that will always work, where I can always find an element in a list of arbitrary size, and I don't know its name, then you get kudos. So take a minute, talk to whoever's next to you, come up with a way of searching a list. It can be the boring, obvious ones. It can be something strange. If you come up with one that I don't know what it's called, I will give you all kinds of kudos. Take a moment. All right. Anybody want to propose a way to search? Find out if something's in a list. Anyone? We are not capable of searching lists. Come on, it can be boring. It can be stupid. I don't care. Yes. Control F. Okay. Control F. This happens to be called the, this is called a try search. Okay. We will not talk about the details of how it works in this course. We won't talk about the details of how this works until CS4102. But under the hood, that's what it's using. You can also do this with suffix trees or with suffix arrays, but also fairly advanced topics. So we won't talk about them in this class. But yes, that is a search, and it has several different names depending on which particular program you're using to do it. Other ways, other algorithms for implementing search. I have a list. I have a value. Is it in the list? Yes. For loop. Okay, so I assume by this you mean look at each element in order, check if it is the right one. Yes, this is called a linear search. Okay. So, great. Two searches. We will not talk much about the first one. We will talk about the second one at some length. Other ways to search. That's it. There's no other way of finding out something's in a list. You look at everything or use Control F. Yes?
I was thinking of a while loop.
Okay. How are we doing something different in the while loop? There are different ways in while loops, but what are we doing inside the loop?
While it's not there to keep looking.
While it's not where?
It's not in the list. While it's like this long.
So we're doing something like while value not in list, repeat. Okay, so it turns out that this piece right here, that's what we're trying to solve.
Okay.
Right? Is the element in the list. Okay? So this is a way of continually checking a list that might be changing, but the piece we're trying to solve right now is this value not in list, right? That's finding if a value is a list. That's the problem being solved, okay? So this is perhaps interesting, but it doesn't solve search. Okay? Okay, actually, like, picture yourself with a deck of cards, and I ask you, is the Queen of Hearts in this deck of cards? What can you do? Yes?
Find all the hearts and find the queen.
Okay, so, how?
So search for the first part of what it
is. Search for first part, then next part. Yes. Making this work is kind of difficult, but this is called a bucket search. Okay, we bucket things based on what suit they are, then we bucket them based on their value and so on, and we end up finding if there's anything in the bucket we're interested in. That's it? All right. How's this for a card search? I have a deck of cards. I want to know if the Queen of Hearts is in there, so I look at the top card. If it's not the Queen of Hearts, I throw the cards in the air, I gather them all up again, and I check again. I just keep doing this until I find the Queen of Hearts. Okay? Will this work? Eventually, I'll find it if it's there. What if it's not there? It'll go forever. So that happens to be called a BOGO sort search. Shuffle. Check one. Repeat. Okay? There's all kinds of names here. I can make that a little better. What if I just pick a random card? Is that the card? Then pick a different random card. Is that the card? Okay? Instead of throwing it in the air and picking it back up, that's just called a BOGO search. Check random cards. Okay? Check random elements. There's lots more we could talk about. We'll talk about some of these today. But these are not how humans do it. To illustrate that, I need some brave volunteer to come to the front of the room. Yes, come on down. I have here UVA's telephone directory. Okay, here you are. I want you to tell me if I, Tykonovich, show up in the green section of the telephone book. Okay? So I am the value, Tykonovich is the value. You will see that each of the pages here on the side have colors. I want to know, am I in green? And I'd like the answer before class is over. So green section is faculty staff. Right? Am I listed in the faculty staff directory of this telephone book? Okay, so do you think he's going to check? Think he's going to load this into a suffix tree and then use something? No. Is he going to look at every single name?
No.
Probably not. Do Do you think he's going to shuffle the names and then check? Do you think he's going to like figure out, okay, let's take all of the first half and the second half? Something maybe. Do you think he's going to pick at random? Right? What's he going to do? How do you find a name in a telephone book? Yeah. Okay, what indices do you use? Okay, so clearly it's been, like, telephone books are an antiquated technology. I realize that. They don't have tables of contents.
My bad.
That's all right. They're in alphabetical order. So what do you do? Am I in there? TYC.
Goes from TWO to TYE.
I guess I'm just not considered faculty. Thank you very much. Now, what is the process we used here? Thank you. You're welcome to sit down. What's the process we use to find out if something's in a telephone book? Yes?
Is it like a bucket search?
What?
Is it similar to a bucket search?
It's kind of like a bucket search. But what's the process, right? What's the first thing you do? If you want to know if somebody's in a telephone book, what do you do first? Yeah?
You go to the right section.
Okay, so Let's call this the telephone search for now, telephone book search for now. We'll figure out what this is. So, one, go to right section, whatever that means. What is the right section? Yeah, so I said in the green pages, so you go somewhere in the green pages, right? You don't go in the red pages or the blue pages or the orange pages, because I said, am I in the green pages? Okay? Then what? I've got the right section. Yeah?
You find the right letters at the right...
How? How do I find the right letter?
You look in the corner or the...
Oh. I look in the corner of which page? This page has in the corner 211.
Where the name is?
But which page? Which page do I look at? There's a lot of pages in the green section. Which page do I look at?
Any random one to start.
Okay, so I pick a random page. Pick a random page. And check the letter. Okay? So I'm looking for Tekanovich. I open up to a random section. I see that this goes from Geldmacher to Golston. Now what? Right. Then I go either after or before that. Okay? So, let me do an illustration, all right? Somebody give me a name I should look up in this telephone book. I don't care what the name is. Somebody give me one.
Beaver.
Beaver?
Heber.
Heber? I'm sorry, I cannot hear the first consonant in this phrase. All right, we'll go with Heber because he didn't correct me. All right, so Heber. We'll look for Heber. It's an unusual name. Used to be popular about 200 years ago. Okay? All right, so I am going to open to a random page. This is McCune to McFarland. Do I want to go before or after McCune to McFarland? Before, great. So I will just get rid of the part I don't need. Okay? And then I'll go earlier in the section. And now I've got Gunther. Do I want before or after Gunther for Heber? Great. Okay, so now I've got from Jaratin to Johnson.
Before.
Okay, I've got from Hainsworth to Hendrick. Hainsworth to Hendrick, so it's somewhere in here. Okay, so the first page of this goes Hainsworth to Heinen. Should be somewhere in there. Great, so I'm on this page. So the first two columns go from Hainsworth to Heath. Okay, so I don't need the first two columns of this at all. Now I've got from Heath to Heim. So it should be in the first, so it's in there. So Heath to Hedrick. Heath to Hedrick should be before Heath, before Hedrick. So let's get rid of the Hedrick part. Now I've got, in the middle of this, I've got Heckman. Heber should be before Heckman. Okay, now in the middle I've got a Hecht. Should be before Hecht. Okay, now I've got Heath. Should be after Heath. And now I've got just one left, Heatherly. And it should be after Heatherly, so I didn't find Heber. There's nobody named Heber. Okay? So, this is called the binary search. Okay, that's the official name for this search in computer lingo. And what does this do? This picks something, pick a random place, and keep one half of the list. Okay? So we're going to pick something at random. We're going to pick either before or after that is still interesting. The rest is not still interesting. Okay? Binary search. This is what humans actually do if they have to look through big amounts of data. We will see why here as we analyze these different ways of searching. Are there any other kinds of search people want me to talk about or talk more about any of these before we start talking about how they, what makes them good or bad? Okay, so we've got these different searches. We're going to ignore this one because it's too complicated. But the rest of these we'll talk about. So let's talk about, we'll kind of talk about bucket. We may not get to bucket. Depends on time. Linear search. Let's try to analyze how long it takes to do linear search. Let's suppose that I can find something in a list of 100 numbers in 1 second. How long will it take me in a list of 200 numbers?
2 seconds.
2 seconds. And a list of 1,000 numbers? 10 seconds. Okay, so this, the time it takes is approximately equal to the size of the list. Okay? Bigger lists take longer, roughly linear scale. 10 times as many things, 10 times as many things to check, 10 times as long. I can actually analyze this exactly. Okay, so let's give myself some numbers here. Great, there's a list of numbers. Okay? If I want to find is 8 in the list, okay? What do? I check the first one. So it's not 1, it's not 2, it's not 4158, it's not 432. Okay, I end up checking everything. It's not 769, and it's not 1. 8 is not in the list. Okay? If I have a list of n things, I might have to check all n. In analyzing the speed of algorithms, we often talk about how their speed changes with size. There's lots of different phrases that is used here. So we might call this linear complexity. Okay. We might call it order n. We might call it capital O with n in the parentheses. There's lots of different names for this. Okay. But all of them, it means that time equals some constant times length. Okay? Plus something small. The details of how we analyze the complexity of running things will show up more in 2110, a lot in 2150. We're not going to go into all the details here. But the idea is twice as big, twice as much work. It grows linearly. It is approximately a function equal to n. Maybe times a constant, maybe times something small for some undefined in this class definition of small, but roughly that's what happens. I have to check about n things in a list of n things. Okay? Now, I could have to check only one thing. To find out if one is in this list, I check one thing and I'm done. So sometimes they run faster, but usually we're interested in how slow they are, or on average, or in a bad case, okay? What happens if they're not being pleasant? Questions about that analysis, what I mean by any of these phrases? I know I've been somewhat vague. Okay. This is linear search. Yes. Okay, so linear search. Thank you. Let me make that clear. Okay? So we're dealing with linear search right now. Okay? Because I just look at everything one at a time, There are N things, I have to look at N things. Let's talk about the BOGO sort search, okay? So, BOGO sort search. Remind ourselves what this means. We're going to shuffle the deck of cards, see if the top thing's the right card, shuffle it again, see if the top thing's the right card. Okay? So let's suppose I have 10 things in my list. If I have 10 things, what's the chance I'll get it the first time I look? It's 1 out of 10. So I got a 10% chance of getting it the first time. What's the chance of getting it the second time? 10%. What's the chance of getting it the third time? 10%. And so on. Okay? I just got this sort of random chance of getting it any given point in time. What's the longest this BOGO sort search could ever take?
Infinite.
It's in position 2 and we just never happen to get position 2 up to the front. It never happens. That can happen. But in practice, how long do I expect it to take?
10 times.
Yeah, about 10 times. So I expect to have to shuffle about 10 times on average. Sometimes I'll get the first try. Sometimes I'll have to run on and on and on and on forever. But on average, if you take probability, you can talk about how this works in particular, but we're just going to wave our hands over it. It takes about 10 times on average before you find it. Okay? Which means that this is also complexity n. Right? The expected case here is the same as linear search, which is so weird. Right? Except that it takes time to shuffle. Okay? So, shuffling a deck of cards takes time. It takes time proportional to the length of the deck of cards. Okay? So we'll see what that means. We're not going to go into great detail here. But looking something up is a lot faster than shuffling something. So the linear search turns out to be a whole lot faster than the BOGO sort search. Because n times... I should spell things correctly if I go to put them in notes, shouldn't I? Okay. N different times I have to shuffle the list. And shuffling takes about N work. Okay? So it takes about N time to shuffle, which means the total complexity is about N times N. Okay? I end up doing N squared work. 10 times to shuffle the list, 10 shuffles, 100 steps in solving this problem. On average. And it might be a lot worse than that. Questions, comments, concerns. I don't feel like I explained that quite as well as I could have. Anybody want me to clarify what I'm talking about? Yes?
So for the linear, it's just O of N, but then for BOGO, it's O of N squared.
Yes.
So why? So is it because of the shuffle?
It's because of the shuffle.
Okay, that's what you're talking
about. Right, to shuffle, I have to move every card. To move every card, I have to look at every card. Right, so I end up looking at every card sort of this squared number of times.
Okay.
Yep. Because of the shuffle. Okay. But if I don't shuffle, if I just look at a random card, okay, I still have about a 10% chance of seeing a card each time. I'm just going to look at card 7, then I'm going to look at card 2, then I'm going to look at cards 11, and so on. Okay. I still got about a 10-time chance, but I don't have this extra shuffle. So this one's expected time is big O N. Because it's just a random number approximately equal to the length of the list of check what's in the deck. Okay? So if I just pick at random, I get about the same time as linear search. Because I don't have the extra overhead of sorting. Now this may seem strange, because looking everything one at a time seems like it makes sense, and shuffling looking at random doesn't. This is often the case. When you try to do your analysis, you often get unexpected results. But there is something really bad about BOGO search. Okay, let's see it. Let me grab this list again. Okay. So I have this list. Let's figure out what the indices are. So let me just write down some indices down below to make it easier what we're about to do. 9, 10, 11. So there's 12 things in this list. Okay, let's look for 8. The value 8. And let's start generating random numbers. Is it a position 0? No, it's not. Position 8? Nope, that's a 687. Position 6? Nope. Position 6 is a 0. Position 7? Let me just start hitting some random numbers here. Okay, I generate lots of random numbers. I could even turn some of these into 11s or 12s, but I'll just make my list shorter so this works out nicer. Okay? So I start looking at all these random indices that I got by banging on the keyboard. And even though every digit is there somewhere, even though I'll eventually look at every element of my list, I will never find 8. And I will never know that I haven't found it because it's not there, as opposed to I haven't found it because I haven't looked the right place yet. So BOGO search actually can, and BOGO sort search both, can never tell me it's not there. If it's there, they'll find it. But if it's not there, they don't know. They just keep running and running and running. And running and running and running. And if I decide, you know, it's been 3 minutes, it probably hasn't found it because it's not there, I might be wrong. It may have just never generated the right index. Okay? It may have never shuffled it the right way. So some searches work, but they don't work well. Okay? Whereas other searches always work, such as the linear search, which just always works. Any list you give me, linear search will find it if it's there and will tell me it's not there if it isn't. Questions so far? Okay, let's talk about binary search then. Let's just run binary search on this list. Okay, so I've got this list. Let's look for 8. Okay. So for binary search, I need to look somewhere at random. And then I'm going to sort of keep chopping list in half. Let's look in the middle. So there's 10 things in the list. Let's look at position 5. Okay. So we're going to say, is 432 8? No. So check the stuff that's before 432. Okay, then I'm going to take the middle thing again. So I'm going to say, is that thing 8? No, so now why did I pick the left half? Let's talk about that for a moment, okay? I checked some number. It was not the number I look. I decide which way to go based on whether the number I want is smaller or bigger than what I'm looking at. I want 8. 8 is smaller than 432, so I took the front half of the list. I want 8. 8 is smaller than 4158, so I'm going to take the front half of the list. I'm going to look somewhere in the middle. Let's say 1 is the middle. And because 1 is smaller than 8, I'm going to look at the right half of what's left. No. So check 2. Is 2 8? No. So 8 is not in the list. Okay? I chop it in half. I check. I pick one half to work at. Binary search. Questions? Yes?
How does that work if it's not in numerical order?
How does it work if it's not in numerical order? It doesn't in your general. Okay? This would say that 8 was not in the list even if, oh, say, this was an 8. Okay? So, binary search only works if the list is in order. Okay? So I have to have an in-order list before I can use binary search correctly. I can run the algorithm on an out-of-order list. It would just give me the wrong answer. Okay? So a general sort of binary search is step 1, sort the list. Step 2, use binary search. Okay? Now, sorting. Sorting is slow. It is so much slower than linear search. Just, let's just, Let's suppose I were to give you a deck of cards that was shuffled, and I were to tell you, sort these deck of cards, put all the cards in order. 52 cards, put them in order, and you know what the order is. Okay? How long do you think this would take you? I think it would take an hour or more. Nope. We don't think it'd take an hour. I think it'd take between 10 minutes and an hour. Few of us, between 5 and 10 minutes. More of us, between 2 and 5 minutes. Few of us, between 1 and 2 minutes. Almost none of us, less than a minute. Nope, we don't think it'd take less than a minute. Turns out most of you could do it in about a minute and a half. This has been done many, many times. I've given it to many people. I didn't have enough deck of cards to bring it in today, but you could do it in about a minute and a half. The world record's about 40-something seconds. Yes, there is a world record for who can put a deck of cards in order the fastest. Okay. So sorting a list takes time. It's not trivial. So sorting the list takes a lot of time, but the binary search is really fast. Okay? Binary search. How fast is it? Do we think... What do we think... How does it compare to... I know it's faster. How much faster is it than linear search? What do we think? Any guesses? Yeah. Depends a lot on the length of the list. It does. Let's see that. Let's suppose I have a list of 1,000 things. How many steps are involved for a binary search? Two? Sorry?
Do you mean just like sort the list?
Oh, no. So let's just look at this second half. Let's suppose already in order. Okay? How many numbers will I have to check to see if my binary search works? About 10. Okay, we have a vote for about 10. Any other votes? All right, let's see why. Okay? I had a list of 1,000. I check it in the middle. I say, oh, it's either smaller or bigger. I cut the list in half. Now I've got about 500 left. I check it in the middle. Oh, it's either smaller or bigger. I've got about 250 left. I've got about 125 left. Then I've got 62 left, right? Because I cut it in half, I don't keep the middle one. So if I're odd, I always round down. So then I'll have about 31 left, and then I'll have 15 left, and then I'll have 7 left, and then from the 7, I'll have 3, and then I'll just have 1. And that's 10 different lists. 10 steps. Okay? Takes 10 steps. How long for a list of, how about a billion things in my list? As many kittens as Java can hold in memory. How long will it take to look through all of the kittens in a binary search?
30.
About 30. Okay? In general, the rule here is binary search is complexity log base 2 of n. Okay? Logarithm means approximately how many times can I divide the number by the base of the log before I get 1? That's the definition of log. So it's approximately the log base 2 of n. And that means you can give incredibly large lists, and I can search them really fast, right? A billion things, only 30 steps, right? That's really fast. But the more the list gets bigger, the more this matters, right? If I have a Googleplex of things, okay? So if anybody happens to remember how big a Googleplex is? Yes, a Googleplex is 10 raised to the 100th power. Okay, so 10 with 100 zeros after it. What's the log base 2 of that? Let's do a little math here. It doesn't matter if you happen to remember how this works, right? What's the log base 2 of that? We can pull the power out in front. So that's about 100 times log base 2 of 10. So it takes about 100 times longer than it would to search a list of 10 things. A list of 10 things took us, about 3 steps? So about 300 steps. Ta-da! We're done. Okay, And there were more things in that list than we could even begin to pretend to imagine. And we're still done in just a few steps. Binary search is really fast for big lists. But you have to sort it first. And that's really slow. Okay? So, why would I do this? Why do I care? What? Just guess. What do you think is the biggest tech company on the planet right now? Google. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll go with it. I knew you'd answer that, I just didn't know if it was true. Alright, so let's say Google. What is Google? How does Google make money? By selling ads. Why do they get to sell ads? What is their business? It's search. Right? Basically what Google does, this is a huge over-approximation, but it is the core of what they're doing. They make a sorted list of all websites, and when you ask for a particular website, they can go through the sorted list really fast to find out what you're looking for. It's not quite a sorted list. Google actually uses something called a MapReduce distributed hash table, which is sort of a more complicated way of doing this, but the concept is the same. They're doing a lot of work up front to put it in order, so that when you ask for something, they can tell you where it is really fast. Really fast. And they make unbelievable amounts of money from doing this. Right? And not unbelievable amounts of money because we're not sure why, like something like Flappy Birds anybody could have done. Why did that person make the money? Google actually does it well, and so we kind of feel like almost deserve the money, right? So this process of figuring out how to do some work up front in order to make other things fast is really important. It makes a lot of money. It's an important part of how computing works. Questions about any of this so far? Okay. I'm going to hit one more thing, and then we'll start a little bit of code. We'll do more of the code on Monday, I think. Let's talk about sorting. Okay? There are way more ways of sorting things than there are ways of searching. And we're only going to talk about one in this class. You'll see lots of them later on. I'm going to talk about one called the selection sort. And it works like this. Select the smallest thing in the list. Put it in the front of the list. Repeat. Okay? I look through the list. I find the smallest thing in it. I put that in the front of the list. I keep going with what's left of the list. Okay? And when I'm done, I have the list in order. How long does it take to find the smallest thing in the list? I have a list of n things. How many things do I have to look at to find which one's smallest? One? I just look at one and poof, I know the smallest one? It's possible. There are things that happen big O1, but this is not one of them. Okay? I need to look at everything, right? This is a search. This equals search. Linear search. Okay? It's not quite looking for a value, but it's looking for the smallest value. So I keep remembering the smallest one I've seen so far. I compare what I've got to the smallest one. I can go one pass through the list. I know what the smallest thing is. You've done this in homework, right? When you're dealing with... which one was it? One of the CSV homeworks, you did this. Found... I don't remember what it was. Anyway, you've done it. Hooray. So that means this process here takes about n steps. Putting in the front of the list takes about one step. This is not always true. It depends on how your lists are defined, but we're going to pretend like it's just one step. You can make lists where that's true. There's different ways of making lists, too, and that's important in some cases, but we'll just say it's one step. Okay? And repeat. How many times do I have to repeat this? I need to repeat it about n times. So if I need to repeat n steps, n times, I end up with about n times n things I have to do. Okay? So, well, I might be able to search my billion things in just 30 steps. Sorting those billion things would take a quintillion steps. Right? Using this search sorting algorithm. There are faster sorting algorithms. Okay? But if we just did this simple one, take a quintillion steps. Not very fast. So sorting is slow, but we could do it with searching. A lot of a lot of the basic ideas of how you do hard things in job and computing in general turn out, you can sort of reduce them to some amount of sorting and some amount of searching. And so these will show up again and again throughout computing. But that's about all we're going to say about the concepts of them. We'll see some code. Before we see some code, anything you'd like me to clarify about any of these or any of the other search algorithms you'd like me to walk through that we did not get to? Yes? What does the O stand for? Order? And that's not quite right. There's something called big O notation, which has, quite at random, capital and lowercase O's, capital and lowercase thetas, capital and lowercase omegas. Why those six things? I actually have absolutely no idea. And they all mean slightly different things about how we're comparing how fast something is to how fast it actually is. The idea of all of them is along the lines of just sort of keep the speed at which it grows and ignore constants and stuff that's small. You will get to see more details of this three times. So 2110 will talk about it in more detail. 2150 will talk about it in even more detail. And then 4102 goes into it in gory detail. And you still won't know everything there is to know about it. But approximately just sort of means the on order, how fast does this grow? Throwing away the details about how fast does this increase as the size of the problem increases. Other questions? Okay, I want to see a little bit of code here before we close, and we have time to do that, so let's make a little bit of code. Let's make a search programs class. So I'm going to make some code that will search through lists. Okay, talk a little about how we code the simplest of these, then also a little bit about a use for methods. Okay, something we may not have thought about is methods being useful in organizing our code in various ways. So let's make ourselves a method. I'm going to make a public, do we want to sort arrays or array lists? I want to sort arrays. Sorry, search, not sort. Search arrays. I want to search array lists. Well, array lists wins by a landslide. Okay. Public, static. Do we want strings or ints? I want strings. I want ints. Okay, that's a very small margin for ints. Okay. Search an array list of integers called list for an int that I'm looking for. I make a method to do this. Now, I've just named this method search. I haven't named it linear search, I haven't named it BOGO search, I haven't named it binary search, I've just named it search. This is useful. By just naming it search, if I later come up with a cooler search than the one I write the first time, I can change the method and none of the rest of my code has to change. So I can do something stupid the first time around that just kind of works, and then later if I decide that was stupid, I can make it faster, and the rest of my code stays the same. Okay? Because I just gave it a generic name which didn't tell me exactly what it's doing, so I can make it do whatever I want it to do as long as it accomplishes its purpose. So, linear or BOGO, which one do you want to see? I want to see linear search. I want to see BOGO search. BOGO wins. Okay, so let's talk about the idea of BOGO again. BOGO search is check random elements. The end. Okay, so I'm going to have to do this a lot. So I'm just going to loop forever, because if it's not there, I never know I'm done. So as long as I haven't, well, forever, while true is true, what do I want to do? I want to generate a random index. So I'll make myself an integer version of math.random times the list's length. Okay, so a random number between 0 and the largest index in the list. I will get out that value in x equals list.getI. And if x is the value I wanted, then I will return where I found it. BOGO search. Yes?
Why does list.size give you the maximum?
What does list.size do? What is the purpose of list.size?
It'll the number of elements in the list.
The number of elements in the list, yes.
Is this list in alphabet, like, is it in order?
I don't know. I don't know if this list is in order or not. I don't care. I'm looking at things at random. If it was in order, I would do exactly the same thing if it wasn't. Remember, I here is it. Let's give this a better name, perhaps. Index. Okay. Let's give this a better name, too. Instead of calling it x, let's call it value from list. Not from form, from. Okay. And let's call this, value we want. Okay? Does that make it clear? So I'm checking a random index, then I'm checking to see what element is at that index and comparing it to what I'm looking for. Okay? Other questions about my BOGO search? Yes?
So as soon as that return statement happens, it entirely terminates.
Yes, when a return statement happens, the method that had the return statement stops, no matter what was going on. So this will run forever unless it returns, in which case it will stop. If it does not return, it will not stop. Okay, so let's do this. Let's make ourselves an array list of integers. Called list is a new array list of integers. Let's add some stuff to our list. Oh boy, we're going to add a lot of junk to our list. All right, I put some stuff in my list, and then I'm going to find out where something is in it. So I'm just going to call my search programs dot search my list for what value do I want to find. Let's find value, how about 67? Okay. I run this and it says 67 is an index 5 in your list, which is correct. Okay. And every time I run it, it'll take a slightly different amount of time, but it will always give me the right answer, and since it can do billions of things a second, the amount of time hardly shows up. Okay? If, on the other hand, I were to look for, 68, it will run forever. Until I kill it. Because it'll generate random index after random index and not find 67, or 68 rather, and will never know if that's because it was unlucky or if it doesn't exist. Okay? So, we have our BOGO search. That's the time we have for today. When we come back on Monday, we'll look at linear search, we'll look at binary search. Binary search will take us some time, will lead us into our next topic of recursion. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend.